We're talking last week about God's divine care over us, and we're using the scripture reference from 1 Peter. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We're making the point about emphasizing the latter part of that, for He cares for you. And we talked about who the He was a little bit. We'll talk about that a little bit more today. And we dwelt on the you. Who is the you? And we talked about that some. We talked about those cares. And the thing that James Smith writes here, he said, cares must be cast on our God, or they will prove a heavy burden too heavy for us. They will depress, bewilder, and make us wretched. And we find that in our experience all too often, when we don't do what we're commanded to do and what we're privileged to do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ made it plain Himself. He said, without Me you can do nothing. And Paul emphatically teaches the other side of that, the positive side of what seemed to be a negative. It's not a negative at all. When Christ says, without Me you can do nothing, Paul says, through Him we can do all things. And all is inclusive of everything you want to think about that's holy unto God. And that's the blessings. And when we think about He cares for you, that's encompassed in that caring. In other words, there's nothing outside of God or outside of our lives that God's not interested in. He focuses on us. He's not a God that's afar off, although He's far off. He's in heaven and a pure world, wherever that might be, but it's unattainable for us right now. But He's privileged us to understand that He's not a God that can't be approached. We find through Jesus Christ that Christ is a great high priest, and through Him, we're able to boldly, not just meekly or coming shyly to prayer or to petition our God in our time of need. The Bible says we can boldly approach the throne of God. Not in our boldness. We understand it's not in our strength. We just said that without Christ we don't have any strength, but through Him we have all things. So it's through Christ that we've been given a holy boldness to come before God and boldly proclaim whatever's going on in our lives. And that's needful for us as part of this care. We needn't hide it from God. God knows all about us. He reads the thoughts. He's the discerner of the heart. And so when He says that we can approach that, it's needful for us to approach and just pour out our hearts to God. We've heard of people being mad at God, you know, and I just, you know, I don't, He's done this in my life or allowed this in my life. Come to God and tell Him about it. Just come before Him. He's a compassionate God. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frustrations. He knows our angers. He knows our shortcomings. And He's the God of all things, everything. I began thinking this morning when I'm going to talk about who God is, how in the world what am I going to say, you know? What can you say? You can go to the Word of God, and that's what I'm going to do ultimately when we get here. But I'm going to say some things that we know are true and are based on Scripture. But we find ourselves being inadequate in describing who it is that we have to deal with and who is dealing in your life, in my life. We have nothing to compare Him to. Nothing even close. The greatest love that somebody may bestow upon me. My wife loves me unconditionally. I know that after almost 50 years of marriage, but that pales in comparison to what God's love is. God's love's a perfect love. Although she says she loves me unconditionally, there might be some conditions sometimes on that. Because we fall short of doing that sometimes. That's why we have little fusses and we can repent and love each other like we're supposed to. It's not a perfect love, but God's love, like Brother Lamar was talking about this morning, is a perfect love. It can't be disrupted with how I feel about things. It doesn't sway him one way or the other. That love is maintained, and it's the sameness to that love that he bestows upon me and you. Casting all you care upon him, for he, that God, the God, cares for you. We think he's too busy running the universe. You know, we get to thinking like a man, don't we? Oh, God's too busy to be interested in me. Oh, God's never too busy, because there's no such thing as God to be too busy. God doesn't change at all. He's able to keep everything going at the same instant, at the same time, and it doesn't cost him one iota of power, or it doesn't strain him one little bit. His love is like Brother Lamar said, it's not just reserved for the most saintly of saints, but for the lowest of saints. And as Paul would say, the greatest of sinners. He wouldn't even put himself in the category of a saint, although God called him a saint. All of you that are born again, that believe in the Lord Jesus, you're saints. God says that you are saints. We're no longer sinners, although we're saints that sin. See, we can't get the same conception. Even though it's true, we need to embrace that and understand that. And the more we do, the more it shapes and molds our lives to what we should be when we understand this is the God that we have to deal with, the God that cares for you and me. We talked about last week, who is it God cares for? It's you and me, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that. But who is it? It's the believer, the one that's born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We're believers who are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, those of us that are persecuted by the world, believers for whom Christ is precious to us. We're believers that are harassed by Satan, coming as a roaring lion and as an angel of light in every which way that he can to draw us away. We're believers, this is who we are. This is for whom God cares for. We're believers, as weak as our faith may be, that God cares for. That Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks to you and to me, and he says, cast all your care on him, for he's really the only one that can handle all your cares. I care for my wife, but I'll fall short at some point in time in caring ultimately for every one of her needs. I cannot do it. I may not know what all her needs are. As much as I know her, as much as I desire to do for her whatever she needs, I cannot do it. I fall short. God doesn't fall short. God's hand's not shortened that it cannot save. There's much more in that than just, we're talking about our soul being saved. That thing, it branches on out. Amen. On every aspect of our lives. So this is the God that we're talking about when Peter says, cast all you care upon him, for he cares for you. We're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says concerning us, God's care extends to every Christian. Brother Lamar again talked about that this morning. The young and the aged, the weak and the strong, the poor and the wealthy, the doubting and the confident. Oh, I like that last part, the doubting and the confident. We have a lot of doubts, don't we? And he simply says, believer, he cares for you. We went to Thessalonians and read just a passage. We could have read many multitudes of passages. But we said this to see the culmination of our being saved and how God intimately cares for us so much that he makes sure that everything concerning his saved child comes to pass. It works out exactly like God said it was. Why? Because he cares intimately for me and for you. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved, by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. So we see in that the whole of salvation being accomplished because God cares for his people. This is a care. Brother Lamar again was talking about, we appreciate your teaching, bro. But he distinguished that love that some misunderstand when it said, for God so loved the world. That's not everybody in the world. If it was, everybody in the world would be saved. Wouldn't be no need for a hell. It'd only be a need for heaven. And so we understand there's a particular love that's manifest in John 3:16, for God so loved that particular world that he gave his only begotten son that they might believe in him and be saved. And so we find that fascinating when we think about that. We find that being the difference between what we're talking about here when he says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Not everybody in the world don't cast their cares on God because they don't care for him.
Right.
See? We care for him because our lives have been changed. The love of God has been manifest or shed abroad in our hearts, saturated in our lives. And so we love him. And now through confidence and reading the Word of God through the Holy Spirit teaching us, we begin to understand that we need to cast all of our cares upon him. Maybe in the beginning we cast some of our cares upon him, but as we go down the road of life, we really learn to do it all, don't we? Because as we get older, things kind of get out of our hands. We're limited by so many things. And so fortunately for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Word of God. And we can read such scriptures, casting all your care on him. Lord, I can't handle this. God said, I never intended for you to handle it. I sent my son not only to die for you and to save you from your sins, but encompassed in that is everything going on in your life. I care that much for you, not just to save you to heaven, but to understand there's more to it. You're in the family of God, in the family that I have, I care for deeply. I care for eternally. I care for effectually. So much so that I am concerned about everything going on in your life, whether good or bad. And if we'll think about that and meditate upon those things, we understand whether it's good or bad, it comes from the hand of God. So it's really ultimately all for our good, although we may not understand it. He didn't say we'd understand it all. You remember we talked about Job so many times. And all that Job went through, we don't know of a man on earth that ever went through such trials as that. But you know what? Job never did know the conversation that was going on between Satan and God. And you know what? At the end of it all, when Job learned that he hadn't been casting all his cares upon God, he never did. God never did say, Job, I'm going to let you in on something. You know, me and Satan was talking, and I just kind of turned you over to him. Never did let him know that. Wasn't his business. That's God's business. Now, what was his business is God says, look, this is what's going to happen. When you press one of my children, doesn't matter how deep it gets into them, they're going to glorify my name. Test his integrity, see if you don't have some. We've got integrity because of the love of God. Test him. Doesn't mean that we won't fail from time to time. Test him. Ultimately, we're going to give glory to God in everything in our lives, and we'll take comfort from that. We'll take comfort from that. Only believers can do that. So this is to whom God cares for is the you and me. Who is it that cares for us? We talked about now God. We've touched on some of that. Just read a few things that he lays out here. Who is it that cares for us? It is the Lord God Almighty, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. It is he whom the angels obey, the seraphim adore, and all creation glorifies. It is the Lord who is so great that we have no adequate conception of His greatness. It is He who is so good that it is impossible fully to set forth His goodness. It is He who is so glorious that no sinner can see His face and live. What about Moses? Didn't he look at God? No, God put him in a cleft of the rock.
Right.
He put him in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That rock is Christ. It is He who created all things with His Word. It is He who governs all things by His wisdom. It is He who upholds all things by His power. It is He whose resources are infinite. It is He whose compassion is exquisite. It is He whose patience is without limit. I like that last one. He whose patience is without limit. Now this is God. This is the one that Peter says, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. This is who I'm talking about, that we cast all of our cares upon. This infinite, wise, holy, loving God that has loved us with an everlasting love. But though He is so exalted, so happy, and so unspeakably great, He cares for you. He is the one who enters into all the circumstances of His people, is ever present with them, and rejoices over them to do them good. Enters into all the circumstances of His people. He enters into all my circumstances. Doesn't matter what's going on in my life. God is a very present God in time of need. He's a very present help in time of need. He cares for you and He cares for me. He cares for you as base as you are. He cares for you as sinful as you are. Boy, we get down that one and we want to drop our heads down and say, nobody can love me like that. Not for what I'm doing. Not for what I've done. Who can love me like that? God can. God does. He said it in His Word. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you so much, I sent my only Son into the world to die for your sins. And not only are you saved by His death, but you're saved through His life also. That's how much He loves us. He cares for you as base as you are. He cares for you as sinful as you are. He cares for you as depressed and discouraged as you are. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you individually and according to the circumstances in which you are placed. Who places you in those circumstances? God ordains all things. We believe that from the Word of God. Doesn't mean that we understand it all, but the Word of God is plain when we look at God and His purposes and His plans in our lives. Then He's ordained all things to His, for our good and for His glory. That's how we can say that. Turn, if you will, to Revelation. This is the only way that I could try to get some aspect or avenue or some way of showing us the greatness and the holiness of Almighty God that we could try to wrap our minds around the God with which we have to do. The one who cares for you and me. In Revelation, we see John in the beginning there. He's caught up in the Spirit. You know, here is a vision that he's been given now. He's going to go into the very throne room of God and see God sitting on the throne. Wait a minute, you just said no man can see God. He saw Him in a vision. He didn't literally see Him. This is a vision of God. And so John, as Jesus has given him the commandment to take these seven letters to the seven churches of Asia, John has now done that. He's completed that part. And we come to chapter 4. And I just want you to see this scene John MacArthur preached on heaven one time. People kept on and said, tell us what heaven's like. And so he went to this particular portion of scripture. He said, I'm going to tell you exactly what heaven's like. And Brother Lamar tried to tell us what heaven was like in these particular passages of scripture. And so you just have to, with the best of your imagination, try to conceive this glorious vision of John the Revelator here. He's brought into the throne room that we are going to see one day with our eyes. We won't see it by faith. We see by faith. We live by faith now. But when we're in the presence of Almighty God, when it's all done with and we have our new bodies, we'll actually see God with our eyes, see Christ, see the Holy Spirit. However that's done, I don't know. But we'll be able to see that. Because faith will no longer be needed, we'll be in the actual presence of God. John was privileged to see a vision of this greatness. And we don't have words. I'm going to read these words, but I don't have words to even describe what the words are saying. But I want you to see, this is the one who cares for you and for me. John, it says in chapter 4, after these things I looked, and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, Almighty God. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the thrones were 24 thrones. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Y'all know what heaven's like yet? You just imagine this glorious presence. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. I can't even try to imagine what that is. I mean, I try to make all these eyes wherever they are and the faces and these four creatures. But that's not the main thing. You would think in our weaknesses, in our humanity, that would be distracting to see these four creatures there. But that's not distracting. The focus is on who's sitting on the throne. And you're going to see that from these four creatures. As much as we would like to see exactly what they look like, that's insignificant. Listen to what he says. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, this is what the creatures do. This is why they're where they are. And what they're doing is this, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and is to come. Those creatures' sole purpose in this vision that John is having is to do what? Worship God. Amen. Simply put, listen, when we get to heaven, simply to do one thing, worship God. Now listen, we try to worship Him here. We worship as best we can. We sing praises to Him. We hear the Word preached. We study. We apply those things. And we try to praise Him as much as we possibly can, but that's an imperfect praise. But now I'm talking about a perfection here of one who's deserving all praise, honor, and glory. And that's all these creatures can do. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Again, this is God. This is He who cares for you. Listen to what happens. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things and by Your will they exist and were created." All those 24 elders could do when the four creatures began to praise God, it's just like a thunderclap going through there. They had to do the same thing. They were sitting there on thrones. They had these white robes on and they had crowns of gold on their head, and just as quick as the creature begins worshiping and praising God, they throw these crowns down and they're worshiping in a holy and righteous God. And they tell us something that we already know or should know about Him. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things. I'm going back to Peter now. Casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He's describing the He for us that we might understand as much as we possibly can about Almighty God who cares for you. Who cares for you. For You created all things. That tells me there's nothing that was created outside of God. Can't be. So God is in control of all of it. He keeps it by the power of His mouth. Everything just goes on and on until God says it ain't going to go on no more. But then He says something else. He said, by Your will they existed and were created. All things. All things include us. And He says, by Your will they exist and were created. God wills to love you and me. This God, the God of the Bible that we're looking at and trying to understand this glorious picture. Can you imagine John when all this gets through? It would seem like he would almost be drunk looking because of the knowledge that he'd received. How could you contain such a vision as this? And yet God is giving us a privilege to look into what John saw by leaving into the Word of God that we might understand about something about the One who's sitting on the throne, to whom all these chapters, the chapters 4 and 5, we can read on, we'll not for time's sake. All of it is magnifying the name of Almighty God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we get into chapter 5, it talks about the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and praise and honor and glory is to Him also, but Jesus and God are one, right?
Amen.
They're one and the same. What we need to see there is the glory of God. This One that sits on the throne is in control of all things. And it says, when we think of the magnitude of the universes and all that He's created, all that we have no idea about, He's created all things, keeps them by the power of His might, He wills them to exist, and they stay existed. The same things, the same principles apply to you and me. We're included in all things. But He has especially a significant love and care for you and me through the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son.
Amen.
This is the One to whom we have to do. So, God cares for whom? He cares for believers. Who is it that cares for us? Almighty God cares for us. What does he do? When we talk about casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. What does that encompass? What does he do? He cares for you. He thinks of you. God thinking of me, thinking of you. He thinks of you. We are constantly upon the mind and of God in him thinking, not just a casual thought, well, I'll check on him every now and then. That's not God. God checks on us all the time. There's never a time that we're not in the presence of God or in his thoughts. How is it the Bible talks about us that we're graven on his hands, or and we're in his hands. We're always before him. He cares for you. He thinks of you. He watches over you. One of my favorite songs is His Eye is on the Sparrow. I love that song. His eye is on the sparrow, and he cares for you. He says he feels the deepest interest in you. He ever seeks your welfare. He infallibly secures your good. In other words, it's not going to fail. Your misery touches his heart. Your needs lie open to his view, and your cries enter into his ears. He cares for you more than for the greatest monarch on his throne or the mightiest production of his power. That's how much God cares for me and you. He cares for you, and his care is constant. It is not fitful or occasional, but ever the same. There's never a wavering inconsistency with God. It's always consistent. It's a consistent, loving, never fluctuating care that he gives us. He cares for you, and his care is paternal. It is the care of a father for his child, the child whom he tenderly loves and for whose welfare he feels the deepest concern. He cares for you, and his care is perpetual. He will never, listen to this, I just love this thought. He cares for you, and his care is perpetual. He will never care for you less than he does at the present. So the past is already gone. He's never going to care for you less than he does right now. Just like he did in the past. Just as important, just as caring. He will never care for you less than he does at present. When old age weakens you, when needs pinch you, you ever been pinched by your needs? When death appears just before you, he will care for you as much as he did in youth or as he does at this very moment. The constant care of Almighty God. We stress all the time, I just can't stress enough, the sovereignty of God. What a blessing it is to not just say that word, but to have an understanding of what you're saying about God. Knowledge makes a difference. Someone that has a misconception about the power of God may get the idea that he's over yonder somewhere and he's got to go here first and here first, and they're kind of left out. No, sir. I don't want to believe in God like that. I got to have him now. I've got to have him right now. And his word reminds me that he has a constant care on me, whether I forget him or not. Whether I'm as loving to him as not sometimes. His love, his care is constant in my life. It's perpetual. He loves me right now as much as he will ever love me. He loves you as much as he's ever going to love you. We don't realize the fullness of that. We will one day. We will one day when we get to heaven. We're going to somehow or another absorb that and understand it, because we'll have the mind and the bodies to understand it and contain that. Hey, you think, while we have these fleshly bodies now, we want to have something eternal. Well, we have the Holy Spirit abiding us, but to have something like heaven that's perfection, it would blow our bodies to pieces. We couldn't, it couldn't work. It can't work. Not designed that way. But we will understand it one day, the fullness of that. But whether we understand that or not, it's just as real whether we understand it or not. You know, a lot of people have a misconception about God. It doesn't change who God is. The Word tells us who God is, whether we believe that or not, whether we understand the fullness of that or not, it doesn't change God. He still cares for us, and this is the care that He has. He cares for you, and His care is beneficial. It prevents innumerable evils and secures the greatest possible amount of good. It is more advantageous than the care of the kindest father, though that father were monarch of the mightiest empire and possessed unbounded wealth. The care of God is more of more value than the care of all His creatures combined. God cares for us. He cares for you, but His care is mysteriously exercised. That's the one we have difficulty with. Why, Lord, do I have to have cancer? Why do people have to hurt? And why do all these things happen? Well, we know it's because of sin, but why is it happening to me? Well, this is God's mysterious providence. If I don't understand the sovereignty of God, when that kind of stuff comes in my life, I'm going to crash and burn. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to go into a hole somewhere. If I forget God's care on me, like I did, I'll go into deep depression. But when I remember that God, this God that we've been talking about this morning, cares for me, and that care is a constant, never-changing care, what does that do to me? When I bring that back in remembrance, it renews my faith. It builds me up in the most holy faith to know that Almighty God has a special, precious, loving, purposeful care for me and for you. I'm no different than you are. I'm a child of the living God. Every child of the living God has the same care that I'm talking about, focused on them constantly. Never wavers, never changes. He cares for you, but His care is mysteriously exercised. It benefits us certainly, but secretly. It conceals itself behind the blessings it brings and the evil it prevents. His care for you and His care is special. It is not the care which He has for the beasts which perish or for sinners who die under His frown. It is care that extends to the very hairs of your head, which are all numbered into all the events and occurrences of life, however minute or commonplace you might find them to be. Beloved, here's our comfort. We may lose the care of an earthly parent by death, but the Lord ever lives, and while He lives, He cares for you. We may lose the care of a kind and earthly friend, though the malice of a foe or misrepresentations, but the Lord ever loves us, thoroughly knows us, and never ceases to care for us. He is the ground of our confidence for the future. We cannot put trust in a friend or put confidence in a guide. We know not where we shall be nor what we shall be, for we know not what a day may bring forth. But this we know, that God will take care of us. And caring for us will fulfill His promises to us and make all His goodness pass before us. James Smith says this, knowing this, if God cares for us, then let us cast all of our cares upon Him, as Peter said. Let us live in a daily fellowship with Him. Let us seek all our supplies from Him. If God cares for us, let us not dishonor Him by nursing our doubts or encouraging our fears, but let us trust in Him at all times, for His word is true, His love is constant, and His knowledge is perfect. Let us do as the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi, which in turn tells us how to live our lives when he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our request be made known unto God. And when we do that, it says, in the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That is so true, isn't it? We experience the peace of God in the midst of our most difficult circumstances when we have our questions. Listen, tell them to God. God knows what we're thinking. We need to flesh it out, as it were. We need to talk to Him about it. He knows all about it. And even though the circumstances may not change, we find this supernatural, unbelievable, yet we believe it, peace in the midst of our trial. Every one of us has experienced that as believers. Every one of us has. Because I'm like you, the Bible says. We're men of like passion, James says. So we experience things maybe different ways, but they're basically the same thing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. And this is what happens. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through, always points back to Him, doesn't it? Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. He said, let us attend to our Savior's loving admonition. This is a different version. Let us, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We shall never be without a friend, however trying our circumstances may be, or without a guide, however perplexing or difficult our path. The care of God is more than the care of all the angelic multitudes. And if the care of God is not sufficient to preserve, supply, and satisfy us, then nothing is. Nothing is. May the Lord help us to believe this precious truth, to realize it daily, that we may pass through the present world under the impression, I am the object of God's tender, perfect, ceaseless care. Because that's what the Bible says. God help us to understand what a friend we have in Jesus, and what a blessing it is to have knowledge that we are under the authority of a sovereign God who loves us so compassionately our minds cannot comprehend it. God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.